Second Peter chapter 1. We're talking about the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. We've been told not to seek the hand of the Lord, not to seek God, but seek His face.
Amen.
How many of you have heard that before in our charismatic things here? What we call charismatic people, or what we worship with and like, passion of faith. I've heard it many times where preachers said, I have said it too. Not to seek His hand, but seek His face. And that's true to people who don't really have a revelation of the hand of God. And so what we want to do is we want to understand and have a revelation of the hand of God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was constantly praying that the church would have all wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord. That means if we need more knowledge, that means we don't have enough right now. Right?
Yes, right.
If we don't have enough, Paul was constantly praying that the church's eyes would be open, would be enlightened to know the truth. And so if we need to be enlightened, that means we don't know everything. There is no EOEs on God's Word. I've never met anybody that knew everything. If you do, run.
Amen.
No, we're all moving towards God, and God is moving towards us. Paul prays in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So we don't know everything. We are increasing in the knowledge of God. I believe this is what, right here, what we're fixing to read, this is what Peter was talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Peter says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." Present truth means truth that's just been revealed. Something that might have been hidden. It could mean present truth. Truth could mean something that has been rediscovered. There's a lot of things that we're now being rediscovered in the Word that's been there all the time, but traditions have hid them from our eyesight. We don't really know. And this teaching about the hand of the Lord, I've never taught on it in 30 years that I've been preaching. I've never did any kind of study on the hand of the Lord. I knew what the New Testament said, that Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And I just thought I knew about the hand of the Lord until I began to dig into the hand of the Lord. So we are increasing in the present day truth. Is truth that you did not know. Now, how many of you have ever heard, other than in the last, where we've been teaching, but prior to that, how many of you in this congregation have heard a teaching on the hand of the Lord? An in-depth teaching. 1, 2, 3, 4. I have. That's how I began to study it. But it was only as I began to study it that I have a teaching on it. So we got 4 out of all these people. So you would say the chances is that most people of God do not have a revelation about the hand of the Lord. Now, according to the Word of God in Hosea chapter 6, verse 4,
yes,
that we are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Contrary to your belief, God does not bless ignorance. This is Wednesday night. You are the water walkers, aren't you? The word ignorance we just can't stand to think we might be a little ignorant about the things of God. Now, if you look up the word ignorance in the dictionary, it means not to know. Just don't know it. Now, there's not a one of us would argue about the fact that we don't know how to fly a jet airplane. Does anybody here know how to fly a jet airplane? And if I was to say, you're ignorant of that, or I'm ignorant of that, we say, you're mighty right, I can't fly one. We just let that pass over. But when we think about we might be ignorant about some things of God, we get all bent out of shape. Yeah. But Paul said, brethren, I wish that you would not be ignorant concerning spiritual things. It's all in the... ignorance is not a bad thing unless you stay that way. I don't know how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk, but I don't drink it, I don't like milk, but most of you do. Yes. Right? You don't know everything. But we don't know everything there is about God's Word. So we would say we've been ignorant about the hand of the Lord. It's not been able to work in our life because we're ignorant of it. Anything you're ignorant of, you can't operate.
That's right.
Or if you try to, you'll just misuse it. Right?
Yeah.
Some of us are not ignorant about, you know, the eyes on the stove, and we misuse them.
Yes.
We put something on and burn it up. Mm-hmm. How many know there's a big difference in the gas range and an electric range?
Amen.
And if you've been used to the gas, you get on electric, you burn the suckers up, because once it gets hot, it's hot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. So what I want to tell you, it's all right to be ignorant in a way. It means you're owning up that you don't know, but we need to move past that. Because if we stay in ignorance of God's Word, it won't operate in our life. So we need to be in the present truth. And there are truths that's not been revealed yet.
Yes, sir.
I've been, like I said, in church some 50-something years, pastoring some 30. And a lot of times I thought I knew something till I went somewhere and heard something different.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing when you get truth from God.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing when God gives you some information.
Yes.
It's all about information.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
Jesus said this to disciples in John chapter 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, I can't tell you all the truth, nothing but the truth, because if I did, you couldn't handle it. So there's a growing. I want you to understand that truth is progressive, especially from God. Revelation is always progressive.
Yes.
You know, we get so excited about, and it's all right, you should get excited about things, about prosperity, about healing. But you've got to go further than just being excited about it. You've got to dig in it and let it become a truth in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So, it's all right. Truth comes in degrees. It comes as you can handle it. God will give it to you. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, you are mind-ruled. Instead of being faith-ruled people, they were mind-ruled people. What's a mind-ruled people? That when you get a little piece of God, you got it all figured out. You know, I'm telling you, God's so much bigger than our mind. So much bigger than that piece. So, we're digging in the Word of God to really, really know about the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
I believe we're ready. I know I am.
Yes, sir.
I want to know about the hand of the Lord.
Yes.
Because you're going to find out we've been missing out of some stuff.
Uh-huh.
Especially when it comes to the adversary. Because the hand of the Lord deals with the devil, all right?
Amen.
Turn with me to Acts chapter 11. We're going to look at some more scriptures. And while you're turning, Timothy says, study. Timothy says, study.
Yes.
To show thyself approved unto God.
Amen.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Man, I tell you, it's a dangerous thing to be sitting in a class when that person's teaching and they really don't know what they're talking about. They can't really divide the word of God. You got to study. Take a diligent time out of your life. Like if all you getting about the hand of the Lord is what you hear in these services Wednesday night for about 45 or 50 minutes, and that's all you're going to hear about it, you're not studying it. You need to meditate on it. Get the Bible out. Check it out. See if I'm right. Check it out. I double dog dare you to check it out. Anybody double dog dare people?
Amen.
Check your preacher out.
Yes, sir.
I could be reading from the Sears and Robot book catalog, and some people wouldn't know what I was reading from. Check it out. Turn and tell somebody, check out your preacher.
Check out your preacher.
See if it lines up with the Word of God. And if it's not lining up, then, you know, come and talk to me. Let's talk about it. We'll iron sharpeth iron. Let's look at it in different ways. So we're not going to know about the hand of the Lord unless you really dig into it and study it. And when you do, you'll find wonderful things about the hand of the Lord. Acts chapter 11, let's look at verse 19. And you know I have my own dictionary. You know that here at Abundant Life. So these words and these things and these cities down here, I'm just going to call them City C or whatever. If you want to pronounce them, just holler it out. I don't mind. You know, you're not going to embarrass me. You can't shout me down and you can't take over, so I'm not worried about it.
Amen.
You didn't hire me, you can't fire me. But if you can pronounce these things, I'll let you pronounce them, all right? Verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyrus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they came unto Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, underline this. And the hand of the Lord was with them.
Yes.
What was with them?
The hand of the Lord.
This is New Testament. Now, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord.
Yes.
Then tidings of these things come into the ears of the church which were at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. I want you to notice again verse 21. And there were a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And verse 24, the Bible says that much people were added unto the church. Now this was a result of the hand of the Lord that was with them. The phrase, the hand of the Lord, is used numerous times in the Bible. And when you see the hand of the Lord in the Bible, two things are displayed when the hand of the Lord is revealed. First, the hand of the Lord gives judgment upon the adversary.
Yes, sir.
And second, the hand of the Lord gives blessings unto those who believe.
Hallelujah.
So when you see the hand of God in the Scripture, it does two things. It brings judgment and it brings blessings.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Judgment upon one and blessings upon the other. In the Scripture, we just read, when the hand of the Lord was revealed, judgment came upon the adversaries of the church. In the story here, the devil was persecuting the church. And because the hand of the Lord was in the church, the devil had to pay back for his persecution.
Right.
Now, I don't have time to go into last week. We talked about when you catch a thief, he pays back sevenfold.
Yes.
So when we talk about the hand of the Lord in judgment upon the adversary, we're talking about catching the adversary, in other words, for the hand of the Lord to catch him. And the devil had to pay back sevenfold. Just like here in this story in Acts, the devil was persecuting the church. But when the hand of the Lord showed up, what happened? He had to pay back something. What did he pay back? Souls were added to the church. You see that now? When the hand of the Lord is mentioned in the Scripture, judgment upon the adversary and blessings upon the people of the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 13. Another place talks about the hand of the Lord. When the hand of the Lord is manifested, Satan is about to be penalized and somebody is about to get blessed.
Yes.
Anytime you see it in the Scripture.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to get a hold of that. Anytime the hand of the Lord is revealed, the adversary gets judged and there is payback and the righteous gets blessed.
Yes, sir.
Acts chapter 13, look at verse 6. And when they had gone through the isles unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Get down to verse 9. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of stability and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of unrighteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now, Bar-Jesus was an instrument of the devil. Look at verse 11. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Now, watch this. When the hand of the Lord is revealed, judgment upon the adversary and blessings upon the righteous. Verse 11. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Here's the judgment. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season, and immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now here's the blessing. Then the deputy. Then the sheriff, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The devil had to pay attention, and he had to pay back what he had stolen. I mean, listen here. The devil, how many of you know the devil uses people? I mean, he doesn't come down with a pitchfork and a tail and job everybody. He uses two-legged people.
Amen.
So, Bar-Jesus was full of the devil. He was the instrument of the devil's works upon Paul and Silas. So when the hand of the Lord was revealed, judgment came on Bar-Jesus. He was struck blind. But look what happened. The blessing was this. Because of what was seen, the sheriff of the town got saved. Now I don't know about our sheriff. Anybody know about our sheriff? Don't. I can't say if he saved aloft. But this town, because the hand of the Lord came into the city, he struck the devil workers blind, and the devil had to pay restitution by letting go of the sheriff of the city. You see that? Judgment and blessing. Say judgment and blessing. Amen. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. We have to say these things. Oh, even in the Word of God, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith does not come because you heard a good sermon.
That's right.
Faith does not come because you heard something once. It's a hearing. Say hearing.
Hearing.
Over and over and over. And over.
Yes,
and over. Until you get tired of hearing it. And when you just get about tired of hearing something about God, some revelation, you're just about ready to really hear.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
You can't just hear. That's the number one problem in churches today, or people said in churches today. We just can't seem to. If the pastor, for instance, I've been preaching 30 years. I try not to preach the same sermon twice in 30. That's a hard deal. Think about three services a week when you're in the Baptist church, and we were. So let's say two services a week. Multiply that times 30 years. That's a lot of sermons. For some reason, we thought we had to preach something new, enticing the people every week. Until I got in faith, and I understand. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is the seed. You have to water a seed. And the way you water a seed in the Spirit is hear it over and over and over and over. For instance, we teach on healing. Many people get a revelation of healing. Or they hear it for the first time. They get excited. And things change. And maybe they get healed, but they don't have faith to keep the healing. Because they've not heard it enough. And they get excited. Oh, the Lord healed me. And a week later, you see them dragging their hind end because it left them. Because they didn't hear and hear and hear and hear and hear. And you hear me say this over and over. And I know you're tired of hearing it, but you're going to hear it. The way we got in faith and the way we've been healed, the way we've received from God is we wore out the cassette tapes on faith. Because
yes.
I came out of a church that didn't believe. Matter of fact, I was asked to leave. My daddy, who pastors the church, asked me to leave the church that he pastored because I believed in faith, teaching faith. And he believed that it wasn't God's will to heal everybody. He believed the traditional way that God uses sickness to humble you. He just puts you in the hospital so he can just love all over you. This don't make sense, but that's what they believe.
Yes.
If it be thy will, he'll heal you. If it's not his will, he'll kill you. I don't know what kind of God. I don't want to serve a God that might heal you or he might kill you. I mean, he might be having a bad day. Inside, he might kill me rather than heal me. That's how we were taught. You can't just pray the Lord's will. And we didn't know his will, but his will is that he's already borne our grief and carried our sorrows.
Yes.
Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression, yes. Bruised for our iniquity.
Yes.
Chastisement of peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed.
Yes.
So you don't have to get God in the notion to do it. It's already been done.
Glory.
But if you're a traditional person, you don't know if it's the will of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, if you think it's the will of God for you to be sick when you go to the hospital, stay in the hospital. Stay in the will.
Stay there. Amen.
Yeah.
Stay in the divine will of God. If he's humbling you, let him humble you for a long time.
Yeah.
That don't make sense, does it? But we believed that. We did. We believed that. We didn't have the knowledge of the truth of the Lord. Amen.
Yes,
until we heard it, and we heard it, and we spent hours of hearing. Hours of hearing. I still do that. Penny gets on me all the time. You need to get up from over there. Get off that computer working on that sermon and walk a little bit. That's why your back hurts all the time. I can spend... You may not think I can sometimes. You might think he ain't studied a lick. But I can spend it from 12 hours, 8 to 12 hours, meditating and looking and thinking and studying and looking at Scripture and listening to tapes and looking at Scripture and listening to tapes until I can't even get up. My back hurts so bad because I'm hearing. And I'm hearing. And I'm hearing. Because I didn't believe it myself when I first heard it. That's why when we're going through this hand of the Lord, I kind of spit a little bit. Not the spit, but I'm spit and sputter. I mean, I don't exactly have it all. So I'm learning as we go through this myself, meditating. That's why we have to say it over and over. Because you don't get it just hearing it one time. Well, thank God for the hand of the Lord. And that's all you know. Oh, that's nice. I bet he's got a beautiful hand. I wonder if it's got nail prints on it. I'm not making light, but that's the way religious thinking about.
Yes, sir.
We don't really know. And so we got to hear it over and over and over and over. I had a person one time tell me, I'm not going to your church. You say the same thing over, over and over. But after a while, I've realized I got reports in that person's life. I need to say it some more. One thing of listening, there's another thing hearing. There's a big difference in listening. So we're not just at a schoolhouse giving a lecture. We're talking about divine spiritual laws of God that cannot be comprehended by man's mind. That's what Paul said. I couldn't give you the meat because you want to understand it with the mind. So I just fed you milk. And I can tell in services. I've been in services. When people's mind begin to try to grab what God's saying, it just shuts down the revelation. But I believe I want to know. So guess what? You're not going to be able to shut me down. Because I'm hearing and I'm learning. And I'm hearing and I'm learning. And I believe that's what you're here for, is to really know. Because you're going to understand in this teaching that the devil has stole so much, and we're just comfortable for him leaving us alone. We don't know that he's got to pay back.
Yeah. Pay back.
See, he stole a lot of things from me. A lot of things I gave him, but there's some things he stole from me.
Amen.
I was doing some good things. Yeah. My steps were ordered by the Lord, though he fall. A good steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
He delights in his way, though he fall. Well, how did he fall? The enemy came, tripped him.
That's right.
Stole from him.
Good stuff.
I mean, I preached a glorified sermon, get in the car and go home, and tire blow out. Of course, that was bad tire. Sometimes it wouldn't. Run over something and cut it on the side. You can't have it passed or nothing. I just bought two tires. I didn't buy four. I bought two. First time in my life. So I didn't realize how much the tire. They won't. $616 for two tires going on a BMW. How much is for four? So you don't want to get a sidewinder from the devil, do you?
No, sir.
Run over a piece of glass on the side and cut your tire up. That's nearly $300. But in this teaching, we're going to find out not only does the devil have to let us go, but he has to pay back for what he robbed from us.
Amen.
When the hand of the Lord is revealed, their judgment with restitution.
Restitution.
So how many of you want to know about it?
Yes, sir.
Has anybody ever been stolen?
Yeah.
The devil ever stole anything from you?
Yes.
Why, most of us that don't know the truth, I mean, we just was glad he leave us alone. Just leave me alone. Just stay out of my life. We don't know that we sick God on him.
Yeah.
Yay. Sick him. Say sick him. Yes, sirree. Exodus chapter 3, verse 20. Verse 21. This is God. He said, I will stretch out my hand. It's God speaking. Exodus, chapter 3, verse 20. I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that Pharaoh will let you go.
Yes.
And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go out empty. Yes. Verse 20 is the judgment upon Egypt, Pharaoh.
Yes, sir.
21 years Israel served Pharaoh. The children of Israel made bread for 400 years, all those bread, mortar, brick for 400 years. And the Lord said, when I let you go, I'm not going to let you go empty handed. Egypt had to pay back restitution for 400 years.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
God said, it's not enough just for you to get a loose.
You gotta get paid back.
I want you to have something in your pocket.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You know, I'm thinking of this. Listen, listen. I don't know if y'all can handle this or not. I don't know if I can. I'm just going to say it anyway. Glory to God. I'll straighten it out if it ain't right. I have apologized before.
Amen.
I found out what I said was not quite right, but I've heard myself. I mean, I was a pervert 31 years in the church, biggest hypocrite ever lived. I know my life. And when finally that July the 4th, 1981, when that I was dying on the pavement, being burned almost to death, the devil let me go and I came into the kingdom. I had a lot of things. I lived on a farm. We was retired, but I was in a financial mess. And most of the time when people come into the kingdom, it looked like they come into the kingdom stripped of everything. Right?
Yeah.
You at the road's end, you're about to die, and all of a sudden God shows up and He snatches you out. You ain't got no money left. You ain't got nothing left. But thank God, God got you out.
Amen.
Right? And you live off that testimony. Thank God He reached down and got me out of that pit. Yeah. Period. You were happy to get out. Mm-hmm. But Israel got out, but they didn't go empty-handed.
Amen.
Listen to me. I'm tired of the world getting all the cream of the crop.
Come on, preacher.
And the church, when we get them, y'all broke.
Come on, preacher.
Come on, help me now. You broke, busted, disgusted. Your marriage is gone. Your money's gone. Your car's gone. Your house's gone.
Come on.
And now here you are at the church and we got to deal with you.
Come on, preacher. Tell the truth.
I'm telling the gospel of truth.
That's the truth.
My wife, we say all the time, we get those kind of folk. But that's fine. But I'm telling you. Hey, yes, Lord. I wonder if Jesus was on earth, He'd have a cell phone. Would He have a cell phone? He'd have the best one. He'd have an iPod. iPhone, rather. iPhone. So I don't know. I got one. I could if I wanted one.
He just speaks in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we used to sing, there's a royal telephone. You'd have to be a Baptist. Anybody know that song? Anybody know that song? You know that song? Nobody knows that song. It's in the songbook, a Baptist hymnal. Hymnal, it would say, here's the verse, it would say, Central's never busy, always on the line. I can hear from heaven almost any time. We sang that for years till I go over the faith message. Well, wait a minute. Almost any time, what if it's a day I don't need no almost. I want to hear from heaven every day.
Amen.
Singing that. But when we get people, they broke. And I know it's a good testimony when God rebuilds your life. But I think we can need to get the hand of the Lord involved in these broke people's life immediately.
Yes.
Make sure they've repented, they got the heart right, the heart's right, the mind may be still messed up a little bit, but we'll stick the hand of the Lord. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you can pray the hand of the Lord into your life. I'm going to show you that as we go along with this. To get a hold of the adversary. So we have to pay restitution for your life. Think about it, huh? Think about it. I know Ronnie keeps telling me, I gave the devil a lot. I know you did, but there's something stole from you. When you was in jail there and your wife sold those $400 rods for $25, somebody stole from you, buddy. Sold your boat and everything for a couple of $100 while you was in jail? Man, all day. You need to learn this thing so you get back some of that.
Hey.
I'm excited about it. Like I said, I know I'm stumbling through, but that's all right. We're learning together. As I learn, you learn. This is present day truth for me.
Yes.
Now I can preach faith hot and heavy, and you know I can. But this I don't know about. It's being revealed to me. The more I study, the more it comes. And the more something bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul.
Yes.
My daddy lost a ministry. It was stolen from him. Stolen from him. I'm going to stick the hand of the Lord in that thing.
Yes.
And he's going to have to pay restitution to me. I'm his offspring. I'm the only one left. My sister's gone. I'm the only one left in my immediate family. So I'm the heir to it.
Hallelujah.
I'm the heir to it. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Now I'm... Yeah, I know where I'm at. I said Exodus. Listen. He said, I'm going to let you go, but you won't go out empty handed. Jesus. Like I said, and I'm moving on. But the church is full of empty-handed people.
Amen.
Israel was servants of God. He sent His servants out. Psalm said, with silver and gold, not a feeble one among them. If God sent a servant out with silver and gold, then I'm a son. And you a daughter. There's something in here that he ain't going to let send you out, bro, busted, disgusted.
Come on.
No, sir.
Hallelujah.
No.
Preach.
See, we're God's collection agency. See, we're God's collection agency. That's the way He wins over the devil. He gets back from the devil through us. Hallelujah. Well, I mean, you got to listen over and over, because religion ain't going to handle this well. Just ain't. You mean God depends on me to collect damages? Yeah.
Amen.
Somebody hit you in your car, tore it all to pieces. You're minding your own business. Not a one of you wouldn't think, I need some damage money for this.
Amen.
Of course, we got some so humble, holy people, we just let them off. I'm not saying suing everybody. I'm talking about your insurance will pay, right?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, not many of us would say, well, hey, he just hit me. I know. I'm just going to throw it out in the way and buy me a brand new one. No, most of us say, I got to get my car fixed, right?
Amen.
And all that insurance payment you've been paying, that's why you got that insurance, right?
Right.
So they're going to pay for my damages, right?
Right.
And we don't think nothing's wrong with that. Well, see, that's true. That's true, because we've been taught that. That's the way it works in the world. But there's another law, another principle that works in God, that works the same way. When the devil steals from you, when you get your heart right, he's got to pay you back.
Hey.
He's got to pay you restitution.
Yeah.
He's got to fix the damage.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. God said, if you don't remember, this is what you need to remember about the whole thing, that I brought you out by my hand. Remember it.
Hallelujah.
If he required them to remember it, at least we should know about the hand of the Lord. Look at verse 9. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, For with a strong hand, here it is again, has the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Not only should you remember it, a memorial is something you never forget. You build a memorial to be something you think about every day, the hand of the Lord. He told them, you think about anything. You can think about anything, God says, but what I want you to really think about and really remember and make a memorial about is that I brought you out with my hand. As I said, we see a movie about the Ten Commandments. We see the rod and the staff, and we see Moses. But all that was accomplished by the hand of the Lord.
That's right.
My. Look at verse 14. And it shall be when thy son asks thee in the time of to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand. There it is. The Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. When your children asked about, Lord, Daddy, Mama, tell me the story once again. I know that your grandpa, your grandma was in Egypt 400 years under bondage to Pharaoh. And you made bread and you made bricks and you never made enough. You was in the land of not enough. But how do we get here in this place? How do we get in the place where the milk and honey flow? What happened, Mama? And God said, tell them that I brought you out with my hand.
Hey. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yes.
They knew about the hand of the Lord.
Yes.
Go with me to Joshua chapter 4. That was Moses' day. Now, will this carry on until the new leader, Joshua? What does he know? Will God demonstrate his hand in his journey?
Yeah.
Children of Israel have a new man on the block. Name is Joshua. Joshua chapter 4, look at verse 22. This is God speaking to him. Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which ye dried up from before us until we were gone over. Look at verse 24. That all, say all, the people of the earth might know, the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yes.
The hand of the Lord dried up the Jordan River. The hand of the Lord dried up the Red Sea.
Yes.
And God says, now tell the whole world. Let the whole world know about the hand of the Lord.
Yes.
Woo. Mm. When the hand of the Lord is revealed, you can believe me that the devil can be subdued.
Yes.
There's no assignment in your life the devil can carry through when you understand the hand of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now listen. We're not doing away with the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
He's the teacher. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We're not going to get so dogmatic that all we have pictures of hands everywhere. What I want you to know is how to get the hand of God involved in your life.
Yes.
Along with the Holy Spirit. Two of them working together, you'll be a mighty force against the devil.
Right.
Because most of us know the Holy Ghost can whoop up on the devil. We've whooped up on him before, but we never got nothing back. That's where the two work together. So you can get restitution for what he stole from you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I ain't had that opportunity lately, but in my early ministry, when I got burned almost to death and came out of the company hands of the devil. I had many spiritual experiences where the devil came into my house and I would know he was in the house, and I'd turn all the lights on and wake my wife up and tell her that there's somebody in the house. And I woke up in the midnight hours and tell her the devil is on top of me, smothering me, and she'd get on top of me and she'd quote the word of God and pray like a firebrand over me so I could breathe. I've had many encounters with the devil. Many, 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 many. He showed up in my house. I walked with him. Most people problems are not from the devil, they're from bad choices. You don't want to fool with the devil. I don't give him any glory. You know how I know the Lord's teach you here that if you want a big devil, you can have one. Make him big. He'll be big. But Jesus said that he made a show of him openly, triumphed over him. But there are times legions will come to your house. The demonic forces of the enemy show up. I hope they never show up at your house. But when they do, you better have some ammunition. You better know somebody that can pray if you can't get him off your... But in my early ministry, I've cast out devils. I'd say, come out. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever been into a devil casting out service, but it seems like the louder we holler, it seems like the devil come out a little more quickly. Come out! Then you don't come out, you holler it louder. Come out! I said, come out! Yeah. Anybody ever been in a casting out devil service? My daddy and me one time, this guy, he got come in, you know, he called about 10 o'clock at night, and he wanted to be the devil cast out. And I just got, you know, I was full of whatever, had zeal. I got my daddy to go with me down to the palace. I didn't want to be by myself. And that guy got to wallowing and foaming and rolling, and my daddy was looking at him. He wouldn't help me at all. I was riding that boy, on top of that boy, beating on that boy. Jesus, Jesus, get him out of him. Help us, Lord. Get us. I was praying to every God I knew. I was tired. My daddy wouldn't help me a bit. Just looked at me like a fool. He was butting his head out. I wonder he got brains after he got this, beating his head down. I'm trying to hold on him in the name of Jesus. And I understand, lay hands on him, cast out the devils in the name of Jesus. But I'm learning something now through this. I ain't going to waste all my energy. I'm going to say, stretch forth thy hand. I'm going to call on the hand of the Lord to get involved. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. So, devil, if you want to manifest, let's try them out tonight. Anybody here want a devil cast out? We'll try the hand of the Lord out. Yeah. Seriously. Seriously. We're getting ready for the wind, man. We're getting ready for the wind. Yeah. I'm looking for this place to be full with dope, cigarettes, drunk bottles, drunk people. Sober it up when they leave. Ex-dope addicts, ex-adulterers, marriage put back together, people healed, delivered, set free. We're not afraid of a move of God, are we? We're not afraid of a move of God. We need to see God moving among us. It's the hand of the Lord in this place. Supernatural money, amen. I've went to church before, sitting in the church with tires wore out, get up, go outside, didn't have a dime, open the door, and there was enough money to buy my tires. That's before I become a preacher. Before I become a faith preacher. I was learning faith. You can come in one way and the hand of the Lord can get a hold of you, and you can go out another way. He'd be working before you get home. Hallelujah. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm expecting. You get what you expect, right? Get what you expect. A couple of more and we'll go. We've got 6 minutes and 35 seconds. When the hand of the Lord is revealed, you can be sure that the devil will be subdued and the people of God will be blessed. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 13 says, "So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more unto the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistine all the days of Samuel." Samuel didn't have to pray about it. Samuel didn't have to ask God about it. Samuel didn't have to fast about it. Samuel didn't have to read about it. The Bible says the hand of the Lord was against the Philistine all the days of Samuel. Wouldn't you like to know the Lord's hand was on you so much you never had another wrestling match with the adversary? One of my favorite scriptures is about Joshua, about God was with Joseph. The God was with Joseph, and though he was a slave, he prospered. Because God was with him. Glory to God. All the... I feel a faith attack. I feel mighty, mighty. You know, I preach against feeling, but every once in a while, goosebumps. From the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. Let me read this. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Whoa, glory to God, Jesus. Some of you have made good targets for the enemy, and it seems like all your life. He's been whooping up on you, beating up on you, one day after a day after a day. Get a hold of this thing. And God can do the same thing for you that He did for Samuel. He has no respect of person. When the devil shows up at your house, you walk out, he has to flee. Because he don't see you, he sees the hand of the Lord. Hey. Turn with me to Psalm 78, verse 41. A foot. I'm going to close on this one. Then just like everything else, Israel forgot. Like we don't know, they forgot. That's two bad things. You don't know or you forgot. They're about equal. If you forgot, you don't know no more. Right? Verse 41, Psalm 78, verse 41 and verse 42. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. This is David talking about Israel. And limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit the Holy One of Israel? They remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. God specifically told them to remember His hand, to make a memorial of His hand, to tell the children about His hand. And David said they forgot about the hand. They tempted the God, the Holy One of Israel. I don't know about you, but I don't want to tempt God. I don't want to tempt God. Do you? No, sirree. I want to do exactly what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Turn there and we're going to close. I probably got about 4 or 5 more good teachings. Don't forget Sunday. I got one more message on the storm. I've had such a good time. I'm talking about the storm. We're going to really have a good time Sunday. I can tell you right now.
Yes, sir.
We're going to stand in the storm. That's the title of the message. Standing in the storm. Yeah. You get your shouting shoes on. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm having such a wonderful time. God is so good. Give me just a second, would you? God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. First Peter 5:6. Humble yourself. therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season. The Bible says, humble yourself under God's strong hand. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, or the strong hand of God, and He will exalt you. In other words, He will whoop up on your devil. And He'll bring restitution to your life. That's what exaltation is. Going up a level. Glory to God. We're going up a level. That's what this teaching is going to do. It's going to bring you up a level. Amen. We're not just going to hide, run and hide when adversity comes. We're going to stand at the ship. And we're going to say, peace be still. No, no, no. You're not going to do that, devil. The hand of the Lord is with me. The hand of the Lord is upon me. I'm too expensive for you to mess with. You mess with me, you got to pay back. You got to pay back sevenfold. You might as well go on down somebody else. You better go on. No, most of us say, well, you know, I pray I make it through. Oh, He's working on me and all this stuff. No, you stand up and you tell Him who you are. Yes. See, that's uncomfortable for us because most of us don't know who we are. They think we're standing in what we are. We're standing in Him. He's in us. We're in Him. My goodness.
Hallelujah.
We were somewhere the other day or right here, something. Somebody came in the door and, yeah, I know what it was. Ronnie was out there and I was standing up there and somebody came in the door and said, he said, Pastor, I see you got your bodyguard with you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All I got to do is just twinkle my nose.
Right.
And my bodyguard will take you out. I know who's with me. I'd like to take him some places that you wouldn't good to take some of you little folk. And I don't know. Dynamite's in a little package, but at least he'll intimidate somebody. Big old head, big old hand, big old voice. I pity people that sit in front of him. I don't know how y'all take it. My ear hurts and I'm over there. I said, well, dear God. Harry sits right in front of me. I know, probably can't hear nothing no more, but bless his heart. You know, I know who's with me. I know who to take with me. I'm not dumb. If I'm going somewhere I know it might be some trouble with, I take him with me.
Yes,
I take Brad with me.
Amen.
I take Lee with me.
Yes,
I sure would take old Biggin over there with me.
Yeah.
And Harold, like I done whooped up on the devil. I mean, he was right up in the... Howard. Howard whooped up on the devil. It's right up in the paper about him.
Yeah.
Hand of the Lord came upon you that day.
Yeah.
I said the hand of the Lord come upon you that day. That guy gonna kill everybody in that store and you just turn around and beat the crap out of him. I mean beat him up. You beat him up. Excuse me, Lord. Somebody made me say that. Y'all. Howard took that thing. Even Cindy got the broom and beat the snot out of him. While Howard hold him down till the law got there. Had a shotgun pulled on him, gonna blow their brains out. Hand of the Lord came on. Oh my God. Hand of the Lord came upon that little man. He jumped on him like a, I don't know what. Before he knows, he's on the ground. But bum, 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 bum. Done beat him all to pieces. Shakabola.
Yes.
We ain't running no more. Time to quit that running.
Right.
Where are we going to run? He just come and get you down somewhere else.
Right.
Knock you down further. Quit running. You're standing up. Face him. God, what would we do if we had a church that would face the devil and know who they were with the hand of the Lord? No cancer could come in this house and stay here. No marriage could come in here broken up. When they went out, they'd be back together. Hallelujah. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Will you stand?
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hand of the Lord.